You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully on today's episode, which is being dropped on the 9th day of December. Get your shopping in soon, folks. 2020, we're talking with Chris Castellani of Locked On Tigers about his beloved Tigers and looking forward to the season ahead. This show is available on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app. We're also available wherever you get your podcasts. When you're staying at home during these, oh, let's be kind and call them interesting times, be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB or check out some of the other great shows of the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Fantasy Baseball with Scott Cullen and, hey, Locked On Tigers with Chris Castellani. You can follow us on Twitter at Locked On MLB Pod. For all Sunday request pods that you want to hear, you want me to talk about a topic here in the offseason, I open it up on the Sunday request and send those topics to Sully Baseball on Twitter. I'm also at Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. As promised and as mentioned, we are going all around the league talking with the hosts of Locked On shows, and we want to hear a little bit about some of the teams that didn't have the greatest seasons in 2020 but may have reason to, I don't know, be happy moving forward. Chris Castellani is the host of Locked On Tigers. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot for having me, man. I'm looking forward to talking a little bit of Tigers baseball.
Yeah, so where are you? If I had a pin and was going to point where you were on the map right now, where are you physically right now?
Lansing, Michigan, capital city of my home state, Michigan.
All right, well, there you go. Lansing, Michigan. Is Michigan State? Is that Lansing?
That's Michigan State. That's Michigan State territory. But I am a Michigan fan. My other gig is at amazingbrew.com, where I do podcasts for SB Nation regarding Michigan sports. So I had a lot of fun growing up. But I'm happy to be doing this, man.
All right, I'm not going to try to stoke any flames there as someone who is a Washington State grad who knows not to mention University of Washington in the wrong place. I will not try to stoke that fire any which way but loose. All right, let's talk a little bluntly. The Detroit Tigers have one of the most beautiful hats, one of the most perfect uniforms, and did not have one of the best seasons last year, albeit in the, say it with me, folks, truncated season. It was the end of Ron Gardenhire for about an hour and a half. It was Lloyd McClendon's team, and they finished 23-35 without a lot of great contribution from a lot of players. Probably Candelario was probably the most impressive player on the team. Give me your thoughts on what just transpired, and let's basically give that season the funeral it deserves.
Well, it was, I think, collectively about what we expected. You know, this is a team that, in fairness to them, as frustrated as I've been with the way things have gone, they pretty much put their plans out on the table several years ago and, you know, indirectly said, hey, we're in a rebuild and we're not really in the business of spending a lot of money right now. We're not in the business of going out and signing a ton of free agents. They went the long way of saying, we're going to be bad here for a couple years. And last year was no exception. I think in comparison to 2019, it was a step forward. I mean, I hesitate to say that because having any sort of respectable product is a bit of a step forward compared to the 114 loss disaster that was 2019. Yeah, I mean, not a good team. It was their goal at the beginning of the season, and their goal since 2017 has been how many top five draft picks can we lock up? And 2017, they had number one overall pick and took Casey Mize. 2018, top five pick and took Riley Green. 2019, a worst record in baseball, just took Spencer Torkelson. And well, thanks to what I believe was like a 4-14, 3-14 finish in 2020. They're going to end up with the number three pick in this year's draft as well. Now, the collectively, I think the fan base, including myself, and I've talked about this many times on the podcast, is looking at this as a, you know, kind of hopefully a light at the end of the tunnel. You know, 4 years of essentially ineptitude at the major league level. They've built up their farm system. They've gotten enough top five picks. They've gone kind of the easy route, but they have fallen into one of the better farm systems in baseball. The time is now, I would say, among the that's the belief among the fan base, including myself, the time is now to start spending some money and fill some of the holes in free agency.
Unless you brought up one of the names that I wanted to talk to you about. Casey Mize was the number one overall pick in 2018, and he had, let's be kind, it wasn't a great cameo in the 2020 season, but in some ways that doesn't matter. It's like for something like this, yeah, you would love it if he came up and was like, I'm going to age myself, because I'm going to make a couple of 1980s sports references here, but like when Fernando or when Doc Gooden emerged on the scene and instantly became the most dynamic pitcher in baseball. Yeah, that's what you want to see happen with your starting pitcher. But that's probably the I mean, remember, Fernando threw like, what, five complete games to start the 1981 season. That is not going to happen anymore.
It's a different age, right?
Yeah, it's a different age. And someone like Casey Mize is someone who I've kept an eye on in the minor leagues to sort of get a sense of, okay, what's he going to be? Because anytime you have a number one overall pick, you want it to be someone great, or at least very good. And I'm eager to, and I'm someone who happens to love a nice dominant ace. I loved the Verlanders of the world. I loved the Roy Halladays. My favorite player of all time is Pedro Martinez. So I just think there's something amazing about a pitcher who can just be a dominating starting pitcher. He really only had 2 years in the minors, really only one full year in the minors, really. And and pitched well in single A and double A. But what do you think about him as being a realistic building block moving forward?
Well, they need him. I mean, this, as excited as I am for Torkelson and Riley Green, this rebuild is predicated on these starting pitchers. Casey Mize, Tarek Skubal, who also saw a major league action a year ago, Matt Manning, who we expect to see in 2021, Alex Fiedo, first-round pick in 2017, Joey Wentz, who they traded for in the Shane Green deal. Look, I'm with you. I take very little out of what anyone, especially a rookie, did at the major league level in 2020. I mean, you make the Doc Gooden and Fernando Valenzuela comparisons, but I think Tigers fans in general have been a little bit spoiled because we want him to come up and do what Verlander did when he got called up. Exactly. We want him to come up and do what Michael Fulmer did. I mean, he saved that season in 2016, winning Rookie of the Year. 9 times out of 10, even with a tremendous pitcher, you're going to take your lumps. And those guys did. Now, it's frustrating because over the last 3 years, while the major league team has lost, I mean, what are we, 100-plus games on average a season, the promise has been, you got to see these guys in the minor leagues. They're going to be studs. Watch out for Casey Mize. Watch out for Tarek Skubal. They're going to be great. They get called up, and they were underwhelming, but the thing I've said, the message that I've preached on the podcast as well is, just look at the stuff. Results will hopefully at some point will come, and when they get a year plus into their careers, and if they're not pitching well, then we'll have that conversation. But stuff is something that is unfixable. Either you got it or you don't. And from what we saw from Casey Mize and Skubal this year, the stuff is there. Mize's off-speed stuff was about as good as anyone in the minor leagues. And I think that's the big reason why he went number one, because for the most part, not there are exceptions, but if you go number one overall in the draft, or if you if you're a highly touted prospect, it primarily, and you know, Nate Pearson with the Blue Jays, prime example of this, Matt Manning with the Tigers, it's because of your fastball. You know, the scouts love hard throwers, but the reason Mize went number one overall was because he was so polished. He had a split finger that was devastating, and I think has the potential to be, you know, one of baseball's next great, you know, put away pitches. But we saw this year that we saw him struggle a little bit. And that's because in the minor leagues, and Skubal was like this, and I think Mize, as good as his off-speed stuff was like this as well. In the minor leagues, you can dust guys with fastballs. That's not the case when you get to the major leagues. And I think they learned that lesson quickly. I think with the acquisition of a new pitching coach, this is something that could really help their process over the next several years. So it's gonna take some time, but I think collectively the fan base in general doesn't, we don't view what they did this year as gospel. We don't view what they did as something that's going to hinder their development. It was a difficult circumstance. And what I said from the beginning was, look, it's either they don't get the call up and they spend, you know, 4 months throwing scrimmages down in Toledo, or they get the call up and maybe have to take their lumps. In an ideal world, these guys would have had 15, 20 starts in AAA last year. They didn't. I felt like the organization did make the right decision calling them up, but yeah, they struggled a little bit.
Well, you made a point I had written down in my notes beforehand. I said that in some ways 2020 was extended spring training for some of these players. It was sort of like, or they got called up to quadruple A. They're able to get.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Right.
You know, yeah, they played in real games and they are able to get their feet wet. But no one's going to look at this as anything other than this was just, this was almost a practice for them. I wanted to bring up one other name before we switch gears to the main question, the next main question about 2021. Isaac Paredes, is that how you pronounce his name?
Paredes.
Infielder, kind of can play all over the place. You know, from Mexico, a couple times was a highly touted prospect. Kind of did the same thing as having an extended spring training. Called up to quadruple A as a 21-year-old, and didn't light the world on fire, but didn't fall on his face either. When you consider that he was called up probably a year ahead of time, but was able to get his feet wet in the major leagues. What are your thoughts on what's his status going to be for the team moving forward?
I think he, more than anybody, suffered from the circumstances, because Mize and Skubal, they would have gotten the call up in 2020 at some point, but Paredes had been, I believe, yet to see a AAA at bat.
Yeah, he was in Erie.
With
the Seawolves.
Yeah, exactly. And so, I mean, he was still probably about a full year away from the major leagues. Like you said, highly touted prospect acquired in the Justin Wilson, Alex Avila deal in 2017. The youngest Tigers player or position player to start a game since Avisail Garcia back in 2012. So we're going back a ways. And basically the general consensus on him is the guy can see the ball. The guy can hit. And in an ideal world, he would have spent a majority of the season in AAA. You know, had a few moments where you realized, okay, this guy, he's got it. You know, he has an interesting batting stance, a solid swing. In his first game, I believe, had an RBI single against the White Sox, hit a grand slam against the Indians a few days later for his first career home run. He can see the ball, but the issue with him is going to be just kind of just getting reps, really developing that consistency. I think Mize and Skubal will start next season in the rotation, but I would be stunned if Paredes doesn't start the year down in AAA. And I have no problem with that. The guy's 21 years old. He's been in the minor leagues for several years. You know, he needs those reps. I think they believe that if things are going to work out the way they want them to work out, that Spencer Torkelson is going to be either the third baseman or the first baseman of the future. But they believe that Isaac Paredes, given his bat, will be a guy who can find a spot in the field somewhere, because he's just going to be he sees the ball too well to not be in, you know, the starting nine. We'll wait and see, obviously. But once again, he's another one of those guys where what he did in 2020, you know, as long as he showed some promise, no one's really panicking yet, especially considering how young the guy was.
Yeah, and I think that he's shown a certain versatility. The way you phrased it was great, which was they'll find a spot for him. I mean, he's an infielder, and that sort of ability to play in different spots around the field will probably add to his value on the team more than anything. All right, sure. Well, look, you hinted the fact there's a new pitching coach. Well, there's more than a new pitching coach. There's a new sheriff in town. Ron Gardenhire, who's, by the way, I have to just give credit where credit is due to Ron Gardenhire. I've talked about this on a previous episode of Locked On MLB, that if one of those star-studded Twins teams, just one of them, I remember he had Morneau and Maurer were both MVPs.
Johan Santana, Kadire.
Santana was the best pitcher in baseball for about a six-year period. And Torrey Hunter, it was a star-filled team. And if just one of those teams had a great October, people will be talking about him as an all-time great manager because he kept bringing the Twins to the postseason year in and year out after they were rumored to be contracted. He would have been looked upon as this great story. He would have been looked at the same way we looked at Mike Scioscia, who only won one World Series, but he took the Angels there and he had that aura about him. He did win. And Gardenhire, who was won multiple manager of the year as a member of Minnesota, the only thing he didn't have was that championship. And I look at like Yost with the Royals and Farrell with the Red Sox, some of these sort of strange people who have won one World Series, they think, oh man, if Gardenhire had won one of those, we'd be talking about his career. I don't know Hall of Fame, but certainly there would be a conversation about it, which leads me to the new skipper, someone who did win a World Series, but it comes with baggage.
Right. A lot of it. Yeah.
So AJ Hinch obviously was a managed the Astros to the World Series. He forgot Gerrit Cole was on the team in Game 7 of the 2019 World Series, which probably cost him a second World Series title. But who knows how we would have looked at that World Series in the lens that we have now. Hinch served his suspension, like Cora, and that was his punishment. And they're practically the only people who actually did get punished for it. So I personally don't have a problem with Hinch or Cora coming back because they were caught. They were suspended. This was the punishment. They served the punishment. And now they're back. And so I think it's their right to come back. But it's not just because they can come back is the question is, should someone bring them in? So what are your thoughts of Hinch being the skipper of Detroit?
When it was announced he was going to be suspended for a full year, and I think in general, writing was on the wall that 2020 was probably going to be Gardenhire's last year. Mm-hmm. And I think public opinion of him relatively high, but he was in a difficult position. He was brought here to answer the media's questions, to maintain a relatively loose mood in the clubhouse, to keep everyone together, which is a difficult thing to do when you have a team that's losing 100+ games a year. And for the most part, he did it. I see him probably maybe at some point, if he wants, going the route that kind of they went with Jim Leland, which is someone who may get a job within the organization at some point over the next several years. A lot of that depends on his health. He retired before the season even ended because he had some health problems. But in general, public opinion on him as a guy seems to be pretty high. Mm-hmm. I never believed he was the dude to take him to the promised land. I think that he's kind of an old fashioned guy, an old fashioned manager, which is, and I think that he came into the 21st century a little bit more once he took over the job. I think that there were a few instances of him really, diving into analytics, but the argument I made, there is nobody out there. I mean, if the best manager of all time wouldn't have been able to win more than 70 games or so with the rosters that they were given. I mean, he was given nothing. Now, as far as Hinch, the second that it was announced that this may be Gardenhire's last year and the second Hinch was suspended, I said, this is the guy I want. And I understand completely the frustration and the criticism, but the argument I've made, and you kind of just made it for me, is that, like, look, if you want to say that the suspensions themselves weren't harsh enough, that's fine. You can make that argument. The fact is that they were what they were. Right. And, I don't expect AJ Hinch to just crawl in a hole and go away because some people believe that he deserved a more harsh suspension. I don't think that's fair. And ultimately, yes, I made a video about this, talked about it on the podcast, that he's going to have to spend some time here within the next, I would say it'll be about a full year before that stench kind of wears off, where he's going to have to answer for some of the crimes that he helped commit against baseball. And I think a majority of those questions are fair and understandable. even despite all the stuff that went on in Houston, and it was brutal, and they, you could make a strong argument, they stole a World Series. Mm-hmm. I've seen this guy manage a bullpen. I've seen this guy construct a lineup. I've seen the way that he communicates with his players and with the media. And that was kind of in general, a majority of the Houston fans who follow me on Twitter kind of said collectively, the number one thing about him is that he's a great communicator, and he's a guy that a lot of people are going to want to play for and play with. And when you read into that, it becomes really exciting. And I get people's anger. I even get the Tigers fans who said, man, I don't even know if I can root for the team because, you know, they hired a, you know, quote unquote cheater. I get that. But to me, when you spend 4 years at the bottom of the barrel, when you're losing 114 games and 98 games and you're racking up top five picks, I'm willing to take anything in order to just field a competitive product. And it's where I give Al Avila, the GM, and Chris Illich, the owner, some legitimate credit. They showed some initiative. You know, the story that came out, AJ Hinch talked about this. They called him 30 minutes after the World Series ended. And that, for an organization that has been so indecisive over the last several years, that was a real positive sign that they honed in on their guy right away. They called their guy and they brought him in. It was exciting news to me when I found out that he was going to be the guy to kind of lead this team through hopefully the end of this arduous rebuild.
All right. Well, last question for you here, Chris Castellani. Mm-hmm. What would you consider a successful 2021, assuming we play 162?
That's a really good question. I would say if by July you're within five games back, I'll be like, all right, we're in this. But even more so, it's not wins and losses aren't even the measure by which I'm looking at this at. I want to see Mize, Skubal, possibly Torkelson if he gets called up, possibly Paredes if he gets called up. I want to see all those guys showing promise. If that happens, then you know what? They'll probably lose some games because the division is better. The White Sox are going to be solid. The Twins are solid. Indians are kind of getting close to blowing this thing up, but they're always competitive. They have a great manager, and they still have some legitimate talent. It's more the individuals that I want to see succeeding here. If we start seeing promise by these young pitchers in the rotation, I think we're going to look at this as maybe not a successful season, but as the first big step in what will hopefully be a prosperous era of Detroit Tigers baseball. And hopefully it'll lead to the GM and the owner, especially, finally open up the checkbook and deciding that it's time to fill some holes by signing some big time free agents. If that happens, I'll view it all as a mild success.
All right. Well, hey, I view you being on this show as a big success. So Chris Castellani, tell people where they can follow you.
Oh, well, you can follow me on Twitter at Castellani2014. That's at CastellaniI2014. And you can also follow the show on Twitter, the show that I do at Locked On Tigers. And that can be found wherever podcasts can be found, Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, wherever. I'd appreciate you following me on all those platforms.
And you can follow us on the free and easy to use Himalaya podcasting app and everywhere you get your podcasts. Talking Tigers! With Locked On Tigers, Chris Castellani. I have a little bit of a cut on my lip, so your name is kind of hard to get that little cup there. So anyway, talking Tigers, old-fashioned D's, and hoping for a building block, not necessarily a title. And no, I didn't bring up the David Ortiz Grand Slam once.
This is Locked On MLB for the 9th day of December 2020. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.